I'm going to turn the recording on here and amen. Let me turn this on here. Here we are. Yes, amen. Before we get into the word, brethren, we have we talk a little bit about the times that we're in. We are in a very tumultuous time here. I think not only in America, but in other parts of the world. The people in Eastern Europe, very tumultuous. I believe that Ukraine has now been accepted into the NATO, which means that the others of NATO, as I understand their contract, they have an obligation to defend each other. Am I right about this, Daniel? And so this puts the rest of Europe and now the northern nations of Finland, those that haven't been in NATO joining, it puts them in alliance where they will surely be in conflict with Russia, with that bear. So we don't know how this is going to play out yet. It seems that the bear has been getting some progress, but is being held back somewhat also. So we just pray for these people. We pray for God's people in the midst of this trouble, that God will preserve his own, and that each one is being given an opportunity in tribulation now to rise up and to call upon the name of the Lord and find his miraculous hand. But here in America, we've just seen a spiritual war, just a firestorm break out among the people that really hate the word of God. You know, the Supreme Court declaring that abortion is not in our Constitution, it's quite a simple matter. It isn't in there. And it was a stretch of imagination for them to say back in the 1960s, I believe it was, or 70s, I forget, 60s, I believe it was, to declare that it was part of our Constitution. It's not. It's not. But now we see the firestorm of hatred and, you know, rioting, people going down the street, breaking windows. What is breaking windows and throwing things around? What does that have to do with getting what you want? So we see that the thing that is in the heart of man is being released again. Wickedness, murder, shootings, guns. You know, people have had these for a long time. If nobody had a gun, they'd use something else. They'd use swords. They'd use knives. They'd use something to kill their fellow man. They would find a way to do it. The problem is in the heart of man, brethren. It's in the heart of men. And okay, so I'm in New York now. The Supreme Court says I can go buy a gun, I can hide it in my jacket, and I can go out in public. I'm not in need of a gun hiding in my jacket to defend myself. Why? You know, I know there's people that believe they need to collect all kinds of weapons because the element is going to come against you someday. The government will turn against you. Well, governments have turned against people for hundreds of years. Russia, look what they did to the Christians in Russia. Look at China. Name any country that is oppressing people. And what did Jesus say about guns? Hello? What did he say about guns? If you go to the
sword.
There you go, Larry. You take the word sword and substitute the word gun, and you have it right there. They didn't have guns, they had swords. That was their weapon of warfare. That was their weapon of killing people. It was the sword. What did he say? You take up the sword, you will die by the sword. Amen. What did he say to Peter that tried to defend him? He said, put your sword away, Peter. I could call 10,000 angels if I needed to. What did he say to Pilate? If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. His kingdom is not of this world, brethren. Hallelujah. So just a little comment. Maybe you have a comment before we get into the word on this. Maybe God has revealed something to you. I think we've already heard from Larry, take up the sword, you'll die by the sword. No, I don't need to collect any more weapons. Not for the purpose of defending myself. And you know, brethren, there's going to have to come a time. You've heard the message that we've been preaching, these end time messages. There's going to have to come a time when you're going to discover whether your defense is the Lord or whether it is not. You're going to have to find that out. And you're never going to find it out if you're trying to defend yourself. You won't find it out. So, yes, abortions are still going to be carried out. Sin is still going to be carried out. The big thing about abortion, really, is that men and women want the opportunity to carry out their sexual sins and have no consequences for it. That's really what it's all about. They want an easy consequence when what happens is, according to the way God created biology, that babies come forth from certain things that men and women do. But they want to nullify how did Jesus say? I'm trying to think. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you shall reap. And what men want to do is they want to nullify that. They want to sow to the wind, they want to sow to the whirlwind, and not reap the results of it. So, amen. Enough of that. Well, let me get into the word here, unless you have something to add. We're open and welcome. If you do. Some of you have been observing what's been happening on the news here this week.
Well, I just want to say, this is what I see with both of these issues, with the Supreme Court upholding the Second Amendment and with the Roe v. Wade thing. I really just see it as another way to sow seeds of division amongst the people. I believe that what they're trying to do is spark a civil war, and they're just trying anything they can to cause an uproar, and both of these are very hotly debated topics, and I just see that, you know, it's just another catalyst to start these riots again, and I believe we're going to see some out of it, you know, even though the abortion thing is not outlawed, but still your average liberal is going to use it to throw gas on the fire of all these riots that we were seeing before, you know, like last year and whatnot. So That's just what I see, is just more division. So
yeah, they're declaring a summer of riots and disturbance again. They're prophesying, the people that want to do this, I'm talking about. Okay, you know, we can't blame the Supreme Court for ruling probably what the Constitution says. That's what they're there for. But it's not, they're not bringing in the kingdom of God with their rules. We're still going to have to fight for the kingdom of God, because wickedness is still going to be in the hearts of men. You know, it's very interesting. It's also revealing the falseness in some of those who claim the name of Christ. I saw a little thing. My phone gets these funny little news articles. I've never had a phone that did this before, but I found one that said they both read the same Bible, they both claim the same Jesus, but here's one that says I believe in abortion, and here's one that says I don't. So what they were showing is a contrast between two people. One of them was a man. He was a Catholic. He was a Roman Catholic, and he staunchly declared that he did not believe in abortion. He believed it was killing, taking a human life. And on the other hand, they had a woman. I don't know. I don't remember her name, Ellen or something similar to that. And she was explaining, she was a Baptist, you know, a Baptist, but she was ahead of some Baptist women's ministry, something or other. So she's a, apparently the ministry of women has come into the Baptist organization as well. So she was sort of the head mistress or master or something of some Baptist women's ministry association. And she was explaining why she is in favor of abortion. What was she saying? Her logic did not go to the Word of God, except she said, well, Jesus ministered to women. He empowered women. And she was using these 99-cent words like that. Talking about the woman at the well. Well, Jesus loved the woman at the well, how he turned and gave such special attention to the woman that touched the hem of his garment. And therefore, because Jesus loved women, therefore the conclusion is that now she's in favor of women having the right to abort their unborn life of a baby within. You see, this is a picture of the church now, the way this church system is turning against God. They are turning to this liberal thinking and saying, well, this is our expression of ministering. Oh, she used words like disenfranchised, marginalized. Turn to the disenfranchised, marginalized people of the poor people, because Jesus loved them. This is going to affect them. Therefore, I'm in favor of abortion. What kind of logic is this? What do these churches represent? Yes. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, they can go around, you know, in circles and try to bring forth all these different arguments. But the simple truth is, abortion is the difference between choosing life or choosing death. And you know, it says in the end times that there's going to be a separation of the sheep from the goats. And I believe that how you decide on this issue of abortion is an easy way for God to separate the sheep from the goats. In other words, you either choose life or you choose death. There's no in between. You know, everybody has to be either in favor of life or in favor of death. And you know, it's going to be quite obvious, to where you stand as far as righteousness or unrighteousness. You know, it says that, you know, like the days of Noah. You know, and we always use, you know, the eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. But it also was, at that time, God said that every imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. And we're seeing that evilness in this issue of abortion. And, you know, people are going to be held accountable for where they stand on this issue.
Amen. Yeah, when I, within 1 hour after I heard the announcement, I called my daughter. She's adopted. I called her. I said, Kara, I just heard the news. Roe versus Wade has been nullified as a constitutional right. So people that come into the world in the circumstances that you came into the world are now going to have a chance to live. And she's a wonderful child of God, my daughter. So I'm so glad she was born just before this. I don't know what her mother would have done, you know. At the time, her mother was not a believer. But she's a gift to the world. Because her mother was a college student, just got into trouble. That was it, you know. So, amen. Well, let me get into the word today. I want to look in, we're looking at some things about salvation again, and some of the things that God requires of salvation. I'm thinking of Matthew chapter 10. If you want to look in your Bible, Matthew chapter 10, particularly focus on verse 22. Amen. And it says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved." What does this mean? It's a very interesting verse, and it comes in the midst of much talk of tribulation. Now, this is Matthew 10. I'm going to read you an almost identical word from Matthew 24. So Matthew is writing this, and he's writing it twice. I think he's somewhat going through a chronological order of the ministry of Christ. This means that Christ said this more than once. He may have said it 3 times. He may have said it 12 times. He may have said it 20 times. Matthew recorded it twice, so that means it was said more than once. It must be important for him to say, what did he say? He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Now, we need to have an interest in the meaning of these words, okay? The word endure implies something. What does the word endure imply? What did you just say, Rita? Suffering, okay? If, go ahead, say it.
Struggles.
Yeah, Larry says struggles. Okay. What will I say? Okay. You're a millionaire. You're making money hand over fist. I mean, it's just coming in. Your company is doing wonderful. You're growing, your stock is improving in value, and you tell me about it, and I say, well, brother, you're just going to have to endure. Now, that's the wrong word, isn't it? That man is not enduring anything. He's just rolling in prosperity, pursuit of happiness. Everything is going his way. So enduring implies the things are not pleasant for you. All right? Let me just read some of the things here that he's saying. I'm sending you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That doesn't sound like a nice vacation on a South Sea island on the beach, does it? No. But beware of men. Beware of who? People. For they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their sin. What does scourge mean? They're going to beat you. They're going to whip you. And if they don't whip you in the natural, they'll whip you with their words. They'll have you stoned with their words. Amen? And you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Well, I've never been brought before governors or kings that I know of, but maybe our word has. We don't know. And they will deliver you up. Take no thought of what you will speak, for it will be given to you in that same hour what you will speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. How are we doing at taking no thought? Not worrying about where things are going to come. Brother will deliver up brother to death. Is that just in the family or is that in the house of God? No, I think it includes the church as well. Someone that you call a brother, someday you will probably find that someone will betray you. And you're going to have to know what happened. Father, the child. What were we hearing the other day, Rita, with that woman you were talking to over at the church there? What was happening to her daughter? She was coming against her mother. What? No, but we're hearing these stories of children coming against their parents, amen, and cause them to be put to death. So you see, it's going to go that far. Brethren, this has already happened in other countries. I don't know whether it's happened here or not, but I know I've read these stories where they have these governments where they pit people against one another, and they're to... what's the term? Turn them in. These communist countries, turn them in, report them, and they'd be put to death. But here's where he says, but he that shall endure to the end, but when they persecute you in this city, flee ye to another. Verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the city of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Now, I'm thinking of In persecution, people are going to be driven from city to city, from country to country. If you study the history of our spiritual ancestors that have come to America, all right, and I'm sure this has happened in other places in Europe too, our spiritual forefathers have been driven from country to country. In particular, driven from Switzerland, driven over to... over to France, driven to places, and then finally the persecution gets so bad, they come to America. Brethren, it's going to happen again in America. I don't see how we can avoid it. All right, so another verse, Matthew 24. Let's look at almost the same words, and we're talking about conditions here. Matthew 24, verse 13, we find almost the same verse. And let me go back a little bit to verse 8. These are the beginning of sorrows, and they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You know, it's our natural thing to want to be accepted and want to be liked, isn't it? How many of you really seek to go out and be hated. Well, there's people that are crazy enough to do that, but not because of Christ. They have other mental issues in them. But Jesus said it's going to happen. In other words, if you are really straight on what you believe and what you live and what you preach, sooner or later, and I believe the conditions are rising right now. Oh my goodness. I remember one time I guess it was some legal decision. I don't know if it was the Supreme Court or where it was, had come down on gay marriage, same-sex marriage, let me call it that. And it had just come to our attention. I think it was George that was with me. We were in some lounge, some airport lounge over in, I think it was the Philippines. No, it wasn't the Philippines. It was in Japan. We were in a lounge. And we were talking about it. And we weren't talking loud. I didn't think we were. Were you with us, Rita? No, I don't think you were. It might have been Detroit even. And we announced it to one another, and we announced how disgusted we were with what had happened. And oh my goodness, somebody heard us, and did we get some dirty looks across, not very far, was apparently where our voice had carried to another section of the lounge. And all of a sudden, we just thought, oh my goodness, we've got people here in the world that are really going to hate if they hear what we're saying. And they surely did. So he says, many will be offended and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now here's that verse. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. All right, so we've got interesting words here. First is the word endure. Endure. I think we've defined that. It's holding fast under pressure, holding fast under conditions that are coming against you, all right, to the end. Now, endure to what point? The word is given here is there's a certain point that you have to endure to. In other words, it's not an endless thing. There's a goal. There's a standard. There's an end game here, or there's an end point. And the end point is, well, two things. Either you're departing from this world, or the coming of the fullness of the kingdom of God in this world. So there's an end point where the opposition is going to be dealt with, and Jesus is going to come to rule over the world, and you'll be part of it, okay? So endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Now there's that word saved. We're talking about conditions of salvation. Saved means saved. Whether you want to look at it as being saved in a natural way or being saved from your soul in a spiritual manner, it's a consistent word throughout the New Testament. It means saved, and the word saved means more than we ever thought in the beginning. Well, just accept Jesus and you'll be saved. In other words, it means more than just having an assurance of eternity. It means in your circumstances, you will be saved as well. All right. Let me go to Mark chapter 13. Mark 13. Verse 13. Let's start in verse 12, I suppose. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father his son, And children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. Do you know there are many fathers who are very unfavorable at the way their sons have turned to the Lord? I remember a long time ago interviewing a man, it was somewhere in the Middle East, where we heard he came to tell us about his son who had really turned to the kingdom of God. Now, he was a man of religion. I don't know what religion, I don't know whether he was Catholic or what he was, some kind of belief in Christianity. And we got talking about his son. His son was a grown man in his 20s, and the son had really turned to the kingdom of God. I thought he had, I didn't know the son, but I heard about him, I thought, well, praise God, I'm glad to hear this. And so I said to the man, well, how are you dealing with this? His words to me were, we don't cotton to that. That's a strange way to put it. Have you ever heard that, Mike? People say that? That a term they use out there in California? We don't cotton to that. Well, see, that's not a term we'd use over here in the Northeast. We don't cotton to that. But I knew very clearly what he meant. And, you know, I began to talk with him about it, and he soon found out he didn't cotton to me either. He didn't like what I was saying. So we're going to find people that don't cotton to what we believe. So now, did I read the 13th verse? Let me make sure I read it. And ye shall be hated of all men. Why did he have to say that? Why did he add all men? I don't think I'm hated of all men. What did Jesus mean when he said you'll be hated of all men? I think he's talking about all carnality of man. See, Mike, you don't hate me, do you? No. No, Madeline, you don't hate me, do you? No, okay. All ungodly men, Rita says. So yes, ungodly people. Wasn't it Larry that mentioned that this is bringing about a schism in the whole world? Every man, sheep, goats, this is bringing a schism right down the middle of our land, out of our culture, of the people that dwell in the land. They're being separated right from left. Religious people, ministers, women in ministry. There's the first mistake that she got into. Oh, it says she's in favor of women in ministry too. You start turning away from the Word of God in one way, you're going to be led to deception in other things as well. You start advocating for women in leadership in the church, in pastoral positions, ruling over the flock. The next thing she's going to be open to, and the church is going to be open with her, then they'll be bringing in a lesbian pastor. Deception, all right? Let's go on. You will be hated of all men for my name's sake. Because of the name's sake of Jesus Christ. All right? For my name's sake. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Endure. Bear patiently. How many of you endure but not patiently? I've been guilty of that, brother. You know, way back, it was in the 1970s, probably about 1975 or 6, when the Lord said to me, will you bear with me a little while longer? Now he was meaning, bear with me meant endure with me. Will you bear with me a little while longer? And I, of course, I agreed with the Lord. I said, yes, I'll bear with you a little while longer. But in my mind, I wasn't thinking real long. I was thinking 6 months. All right. And you know, I wasn't going to be very patient for 6 months. You know how long it lasted? I think it was at least 6 years. Why? What was God after? He was after patience. Isn't that one of the fruit of the Spirit? Come on, tell me. Tell me, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Rita, do you remember all of them? Love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, temperance, kindness. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, anyway, I was aware of that when I was going through this trial. And I said, Lord, I'm okay with the others, but can we leave this patience and endurance thing? Can we leave that until later when I feel a little better about it? I'll take care of the others. You know, I'll be kind and you know, temperate and all that. But can we save that one until later? You know what the Lord said to me? He said, no, we're going to take them all in their place. You're going to have to learn that right along with the others. So, amen. Well, let me move on to something else now. John chapter 8. I've got a bunch of good verses here that I think we might look at. John chapter 8, verse 31. And let's start in verse 30. And he spake these words, many believed on him. And Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him. Now here's an interesting passage here. There were Jews well, of course, practically everybody he's speaking to here is Jews. But in this passage, there are apparently Jews who believed on him, and there were Jews who didn't believe on him. And he's saying some things that is going to separate those who believe on him from those who don't believe on him. So he said to those Jews who believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. Now, this very verse, and we're not just plucking out one verse that doesn't agree with anything else. It's in context with everything else in the word. This verse, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. What does this say about salvation? I'm talking about the church definition of salvation. What does this say about those who say you can have salvation and you can depart from it? You can lose it. What does the word if mean? If implies what? A condition, right? If you do this, this will happen. If you don't, something else is going to happen. All right? So the condition that's required here is to continue. If you continue, amen, and that word means abide, it's the same word. Look it up in the Strong's. It's 3306. That's the number in the Strong's Concordance. If you abide or continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Well, I was having a little discussion a long time ago with a fellow who believed in eternal security. He said, once you're saved, you're always saved. You can never lose it. I said, what do you think about this verse? Well, that just says you won't be a disciple. You'll still be saved, but you won't be a disciple. Come on. Do you see how people twist the word of God when they want it to believe a certain thing? So what's the difference about being a believer? Aren't you going to also be a disciple? Isn't it the same thing? No. So they separate it and say, well, you won't be a disciple, but you'll still go to heaven and you'll still be a believer, you know, and you'll still be a good person. No, you have to continue. You have to go on to the end. You have to go all the way through. So, and then he says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'm just going to go on here a little bit because this brings up a very interesting discussion. He says, they answered him. Why did they answer him like this? We are Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest then thou, you shall be made free? In other words, these are Jews now who don't believe on him. They're saying, how do you dare say that we're in bondage? Well, hello. The Romans were there ruling over them, and they're saying we're not in bondage. Come on. Pilate was sitting there. He was the boss of the city of Jerusalem. And they're saying, we've never been in bondage. Jesus is not talking about that kind of bondage anyway. He's talking about the bondage of your soul. Now, he says, Jesus answered them, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. In other words, if you're sinning, you are in bondage to sin. How many of you can remember a time when you were in bondage to sin? Boy, it really had a hold on you, didn't it? I mean, it consumed your thoughts. It consumed your life. I mean, every aspect of your life, you were driven by that sin. Amen? And we sang that song today. What was it about the... The yoke shall be, how was it, Rita? His burden shall be taken away. The yoke shall be taken off the neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed. Amen. What good, you know what a yoke looks like? Have any of you seen these yokes that they used to put on oxen? Have any of you actually seen these things? A great big wooden beam with a carved out for the neck, for the yoke, for this ox, and he's yoked over here to another ox. And this great big heavy beam is on their neck because that's the way they have to attach the thing where they can pull. These are heavy, heavy beams on the cow, I'll call it the cow, the bull, whatever, the ox. Now, suppose that yoke is just broken and the thing is still hanging there on your neck. It has to be destroyed. It has to be completely obliterated. Amen. Now he says, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. This is what's going on in the world around us, brethren. This is what's going on with this big, big firestorm of abortion. It's the homosexual revolution. You know, they're getting so bold that they're advertising themselves on the radio now. We have a special gay movie, you know, that they're calling it Pride. Don't you, brethren, don't you know that pride goeth before destruction? They're giving themselves a name that is going before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Yes, there's haughtiness in this as well. Come on, you hate me for saying it. I don't care. I'm old enough, I don't care if you hate the word of God coming from me or not. I'm going to answer to the Lord Jesus Christ, and him only will I answer to. So why do you seek to kill me? He says. I speak that which I have seen of my father, and ye do that which ye have seen of your father. And who was their father? The devil. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode, there's that word abode, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Now that means even when the devil quotes the Bible, the truth is not in him. That's not why he's quoting the Bible. He's quoting something to try to deceive you and to turn you aside. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. All right, we're talking about abiding in truth, abiding in his word, and the devil is not abiding. He's abiding in something else. Let me take you to John 15. Do we have time? Oh, yeah, we got plenty of time yet. John 15. And you know John 15. You know what that's all about. That's about the vine. Amen? I am the vine. So look here in John 15, verse 7 through 9. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now there's the condition again of if. This is not just a condition of salvation. This is a condition of what? Of what? The condition is, do you want to have your prayers answered? On what condition can you get your prayers answered? By abiding in him. Abiding. Can a branch decide that he doesn't want to be in the vine anymore? Well, if he does, he's not going to abide, is he? Okay, so I want to have my prayers answered. Amen. I want to be able to ask, and it shall be done unto you. And I suppose as long as we are abiding in him, he hears our prayers. You know, a brother came to me one time, a long time ago. He gave a word to me. This is before I met any of you brethren. It's before I met any of the end time kingdom people that we're affiliated with. The brother came to me one time and he said, you know, the Lord wants to dwell in your house. He said, he's been in your house and then he's left. He's been in and he's left. And I didn't quite understand what he meant at the time. But later I came to realize that it had to do with my attitude and the way I was handling my affairs in life. Sometimes I was handling it in the right way, and there were times I was not. And the Lord didn't stay in my house when I wasn't abiding. So in other words, at those times, my prayers were not being answered. And then when I'd invite him back in, my prayers were being answered again. One day I simply made up a decision. I said, look, I see the goodness of the Lord. I see his mercy. He's been so kind. I'm never going to depart again. And you know what? I haven't. And things changed. It was a long time ago. Things changed in my life. So, how many verses did we get here? Did I get down through? Okay, yes. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Here's talking about discipleship again. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Continue. Continue. That means abide. That's the same word. Abide, continue. It's the same word. Same Greek word, 3306. Means the same thing. Now, what about not abiding? Let me go over to Romans. There's a verse over here in Romans. And I know we hardly dare to read this chapter. It's a very controversial chapter. But let me just read it the way it says it. And let's take the word of God for what it says. We go back maybe to start in verse 18. Paul is talking about the natural Jew, okay? And he says, boast not against the branches. If thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee, okay? Wilt thou say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in? All right, so speaking to the Gentiles, he's saying to us Gentiles, I guess, in the natural. All right, you've been grafted into the true vine. But there's others that other branches have been broken off. All right. Wilt thou say then the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in? Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. So you see, being a natural seed of Abraham did not guarantee them the right to be the true spiritual seed of Abraham, to be part of the kingdom of God. You see, for many years, for 1,000 years, whatever, from Abraham to Christ, many people believed that just being a natural seed of Abraham got them in the door, got them into the kingdom, got them favor. But Paul is using some pretty harsh terms here, to saying that some of these branches were broken, not cut off, but broken off. I would have said cut off. What's the difference? They're off. Amen? Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. In other words, don't let it get to your head. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare thee not. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. How many of you believe there's two sides of God? There's the goodness of God and there's the severity of God. You know, there are many Christians and there are many pastors that do not believe in that God is anything. He's just good. There's no severity. There's no tough requirements. There's no accountability. When I suggested to that pastor that I met in the hospital dining room that day, when he asked me what I believed about the parable of the virgins, and I said, well, some of them got in to the door and the door was closed and others were locked out. He says, well, isn't that being exclusionistic? In other words, they don't want to face the possibility of the severity of God. To lock somebody out, that sounds pretty severe, doesn't it? But listen to Paul. He used the word severity. Severity, okay? Severity of God on them which fell, severity. All right? And those that were broken off, those that were cut off. Sometimes the word cut off is used in the Old Testament. That's severe. What happened to, who was the man that the ground opened up? Korah. Korah. Ground opened up, swallowed them all, families, everything, their whole tent, everybody that was with them, swallowed up in the earth, and the earth closed up on them again. Did that look like goodness, or did that look like severity? It looked pretty rough, didn't it? The people that saw it didn't think it was goodness. They fled, they ran screaming, "Oh, get me out of here." They saw, you see, there's two sides of God. If you're going to have a just, a perfect, and a holy God, you're going to have a God that hates anything that is not holy. You know, it is just grace that he's put up with us. Sometimes we like a little darkness in our life. Sometimes we like a little, "Well, you have to be so hard about it, Brother Mark. Can't you be a little more understanding? You know, you don't have to tell him right out that he's a sinner, that he's going to hell. Just soften it down a little bit." All right, so back to Paul here. Severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. Now here's that word again, that two-letter word, if. Goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Here he uses the word cut off. The word if. Are we talking about salvation, brethren? And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. In other words, natural seed of Abraham, you can come back in. And you know, thank God, many natural seed of Abraham people are coming back in to Jesus, through Jesus. That's the only way. By no other name will you get in, through Jesus. You're not going to get in through Abraham. You're not going to get in through Moses or anyone else. It's only through Jesus. Another couple of verses, Colossians chapter 1. Let's go over to Colossians for just a little bit. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 23. Let me go back a little bit so we get the context. Verse 19 takes us in context. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Who's the him? It's Jesus. Fullness. What is fullness? Fullness of what? Fullness of God. Fullness of the Father. The fullness of the Father God, the Creator God, dwelt in Jesus, the man who walked among us. We saw him as a man of the flesh, an apostle would write. We saw him in the natural, and in him was the fullness of God. What was that verse that we, or that song that we sang this morning? That he shall walk among us. Isn't that the way it was, Rita? And he shall walk among us. And I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Okay, in him the fullness, okay? Let's go on. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, peace. See, we weren't at peace when we were living in sin, when there was a burden of sin stamped right on us. There was no peace. We were at enmity with him. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. And by him, by the way, that word reconcile does not mean that every wicked sinner in this world is eventually going to be reconciled back to Christ. There are clearly conditions. God is not going to do it against their will. Amen. I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. You know what reconcile means? It means brought back together. We would use that term today. Say a man and woman are married. They had trouble. They separated. They went apart. What happens when they come back together? Live in peace, love, forgiveness. It's called reconciliation. They're reconciled now. Okay? So we're reconciled to God. We weren't at peace with him. We were alienated from him. And you can still alienate yourself again if you want to. In the body of his flesh through death. See, that's how it happened. Because of his death on the cross, to present you holy. Why? What was the purpose? Just to save you from hell? No. The purpose was to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable. In other words, there's no charge that can be brought against you. You're unchargeable. They can't prosecute you. In our legal terms, God will not prosecute you. When I look at you, I have to see you as a man, a woman, completely forgiven, completely delivered from the stain of sin and shame. It's gone. Brethren, it doesn't matter how bad that shame was. It doesn't belong to you. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You are free of it. And you can live and think in that manner that you are free. We're talking about salvation, brethren. It's a ongoing process. It's not just a thing that happened to you 10 or 20 or 50 years ago. Amen? Now, unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Oh, there's that two-letter word again. Is that put in there by accident? Is that not in the original language? Yes, it is. The condition for all that I've said is if ye continue in the faith, grounded, oh, here's another word, and settled. Settled means steadfast. See, all these words, continue, abide, grounded, steadfast, settled. God is asking for stability in your life, in your soul, in your mind, in your thoughts, in your emotions, in your desires, in your will. He wants stability. Do you understand what would happen to the mental processes and the mental hospitals and the shrinks and all that business of this world if the kingdom of God were to sweep in among mankind? You know, now they're saying if a man goes ahead and murders people and runs them down with his car and kills them all, he's not guilty because he's mentally ill. It doesn't make any sense to me. He's in the condition of sin, is what it is. He should be held accountable. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not, see, there's another condition, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, that's the word, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature, human creature that is, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister. who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Amen. The affliction, the suffering, amen, and fill up that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ. Paul is saying anything that was lacking in Christ's suffering and affliction, I guess I'm going to endure some of that. Am I wrong about that? Not moved. In other words, not moved. You're not going to move. Finally, 1 John. Let's go over to Brother John here. 1 John. Oh, 1 John is just full. We'll get to 1 John again another time, but 1 John chapter 2. And start in verse 18. Now, John is talking about the spirit of Antichrist here. Amen. 1 John 2:18. Oh, I'd love to go to 15. Love not the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. How many of you love the world and the things of the world? Well, we might. How many of you would be anxious to have your lifestyle suddenly destroyed? The things that we're enjoying in this world. Well, how far do we love it? All right, I appreciate it, Lord. I appreciate the favor. But to what extent do I love it? I'll give it up if I have to. Come on, you know, sometimes we're going to have to suffer loss of all things. I can look back. Sometimes in my life, I have lost all things. I remember it was 19, you don't care about the date, it doesn't matter to you. It was in the 1970s. Lost everything. I didn't lose quite everything. All I had was what I could load on the back of a pickup truck. That's all I had. You can't put a whole lot on the back of a pickup truck. My goodness, when we moved up here, how many pickup truck loads did we bring? Could we lose it all again? I think we have to say yes, we could if the Lord wanted it. Yeah, I could. And you know what? I don't think I'd be bitter if I knew the Lord wanted it. What would he do? He could just snatch you away from here and put you somewhere else. And what would you have? Jesus didn't even have it. He said, I don't even have a place to lay my head. He didn't own a bed. Hello? He didn't own a bed. I was talking to Karen. She's in the process of losing everything. Talked about her nice bed that was hand carved or handmade or something, the bedstead, and how it's all been ruined from that mold and mildew and everything. I said, Karen, it sounds like you're going through the loss of your things. Lost her home, lost her car. What is God doing? Come on, brethren, I'm not joking. Jeremy, what did you have 3 years ago when you came out of that prison? Nothing. Nothing. Whatever you had was locked away in some storage unit far out in Dubuque. It wasn't worth much, was it?
No.
And when you brought it back, you ended up throwing half of it away, didn't you?
Yeah.
But you know what? It pleases God to prosper you again, too, and to restore. Even, yes, natural things. God knows about our natural things. He knows what we need. But seek ye first, you see, the kingdom of God And all these natural things will be added unto you. God doesn't have a problem adding them unto you. He just doesn't want them to own you. If they own you, you're looking the wrong way. So I still didn't get to this spirit here. For all this of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. See, the homosexual community is claiming that pride of life. Pride. They're very proud of their sin. Is not of the Father, but is of the world. Stay away from that. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There's that word abiding again. Little children, it is the last time. Little children. John is talking to immature Christians. This is basic, brethren. This is foundation. This is not even high spiritual revelation. This is simple ABC Christianity, new baby salvation, little children. Amen. He's not even talking to sons of God, just little babes in Christ. Little children, it is the last time. See, he's warning them too. Wherever you consider yourself a little child, a mature son, take this. It is the last time. Amen. The last days. Amen. Let me see for sure. The last hour, actually, not just days, the last hour. As ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time, the last hour. They went out from us. What happened? He's talking about the church. Some of the brethren went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Who was talking about a separation this morning? Wasn't it you, Larry? Separating sheep from goats. By the way, sheep and goats, they're both clean animals, aren't they? Insofar as the clean and unclean, goats are clean. You can eat them, you can eat sheep, you know, but they're different. And there's coming a separation. They went out from us, amen. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye knew it. And that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah? He was not just a nice prophet. You see, the Muslim people believe in the historical fact of Jesus, but they do not believe that he was the Christ, the anointed one. The Son of God. Amen. He is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you. There's that word abide again, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. There's that word if again. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. I'm going to leave it at that. Now, I picked out some words. Abide, continue, be not moved, remain steadfast. And it seems in every instance, there's a conditional word, if you do this, if you do that. And it's therefore implied, if you don't do that, the opposite is going to happen. Amen. So I'll finish with that. I'll turn this recording off too.